Well, good morning, Terranova Troy. My name is Rob Keprudis, and I am one of the pastors here at Terra, and I'm glad to be here with you all this morning. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there, or soon-to-be dads. Thank you. This is something that we take very seriously here is the role of fathers, the role of a dad. And my dad actually happens to be here, so happy Father's Day. That's an unusual event. But we want to make sure that we recognize dads because a lot of times I think we can get into this mentality or this thought process that fathers are absent, right? And that's not what we should have in our church, especially, but in the world today. So we honor them here today, and we recognize them as not only as fathers, but also as pastors of their families, of their children, and of their wives, and also as protectors, the ones that are supposed to keep their kids safe, right? This is the thing that fathers are most prone to do is to protect their families, and that's what we should do. So I just want to pause just to pray real quickly for fathers, and then we'll get into our sermon. So would you bow your heads and pray? Oh, Father, we thank you for the men that you have chosen, not only to be here at Terranova, but all over the world, and that the men that you have chosen to be fathers, God, that they have taken their role seriously, that they have put an emphasis on the idea of proclaiming who Jesus is in their houses. And I pray that you would continue to do that in their lives, that they would be strong men of the word, that are not ashamed of the gospel, that they raise their children in a way that points others to Jesus. God, I pray that they would feel honored this morning, that they would feel loved by their families, and that they would most, more importantly, feel loved by you. And we pray and we ask all these things in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Oh, one other thing. Two websites that I thought are super helpful for men, especially dads. One's called the Dad Craft. Super insightful to help as we raise children and as we pastor our families. And another one called the Good Men Project. So you might want to look those up as parents or dads who are going to be parents or fathers, as well as all of us from young to old who are dads now could find helpful. Well, today we'll be wrapping up our section of Acts in our People of God series, and we've spent the past 3 months literally walking through the entire book of Acts and the beginning of the church. The disciples have seen Christ ascend into heaven, and then they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to be Christ's witnesses to all the world. We see Peter preach at Pentecost, and thousands come and put their faith in Jesus. Then we'll see the disciples being persecuted, arrested, and we even witness our first Christian martyr in the stoning of Stephen. Saul goes on this historic seek and destroy Christians mission. A magician will come to have his come to Jesus moment. Jesus appears to Saul and brings him over from the dark side. There have been numerous healings and miracles performed. Saul, now Paul and Barnabas, embark on multiple missionary journeys to proclaim the gospel. Paul has this unique opportunity to bring Jesus into the culture where he was. We see these arrests being made all over the place, all because of what the disciples are proclaiming, preaching the word. And then finally, we come to the end of the book of Acts, where Paul is on his way to Rome to appear before Caesar. And as Dennis referred to this morning earlier, that Paul has this harrowing journey on this ship, and then he ends up shipwrecked on this island of Malta. While on this island, Paul is bitten by the snake, and everybody thinks he's like some sort of terrible person. Nothing happens, so now they're all astonished by this feat. Then he heals the chief man on the island and then continues to heal all of the sick people on the entire island. And at last, he arrives in Rome. And there we have the book of Acts. You see, all of this happens because of the boldness with which the disciples had in proclaiming who Jesus is and their desire to fulfill the Great Commission, to go and make more and better disciples of Jesus. But the story of the gospel doesn't end with Acts 28, but rather the story continues with you and me. You see, Pastor Ed shared this in his conviction last week in his sermon, talking about the people here at Terra Nova may not be sharing their testimony with those that they see. So he encouraged us to know our story so that we might be able to give an account of the hope that is in us. That's why your story, in light of the story, is so important. And conviction is kind of what I felt hearing Pastor Ed talk last week. And in preparing for this week's sermon, it was a conviction in my heart to stand and present the gospel to you in a way that might encourage and inform you to share the gospel with those that you see. See, I don't stand here in front of you because I consider myself to be one that preaches his story to all that he comes and see more than you might preach your story. But I believe that we all need to be challenged as well as encouraged to share that story and how it intersects with God's story. So for those of you here today that maybe you're visiting and you are not a believer, that you don't consider yourself to be a follower of Christ, I want to let you in on a little secret. That's why you're here. Our desire is that you would be a follower of Christ, that you would be a Christian. We want you to be moved by the Spirit to repent of your sins, trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and find fullness of life that can only be found in him. I'm pretty sure that's why you were invited here today, if that is you. For those of you who are new believers, I want you to continue to share the good news of Jesus and how he came into your life with all that you meet, because this is a new and exciting time for you, and I think everybody that is a believer here today has felt that at some point in their life. So continue to discover how truly amazing this news is and share that. And lastly, for those of you who are believers and you've been a believer for a long period of time, and you seem to have lost that spark, that appetite to share Jesus with those around you, you no longer look for ways to smuggle Christ into the places that you live and work with the people that you know don't know him. I want to encourage you to seek out what God would have you do to encourage other people to find Jesus. I want you to look for ways to change how we work now and how we act and how we live so that we desire to share Jesus with other people. Here's our roadmap for our time today. We're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about the message, the good news that gives us a story to share, what it is that we need to know if we are going to indeed talk about who Jesus is. Secondly, we'll look at the motives of why we don't share our stories and what are the things that keep us from spreading the message. And finally, we'll explore the ways that we can mingle with others. And no, I'm not talking about Christian mingle, but rather mission mingle, right? It's catchy. We'll be thinking about that later today. Looking for ways to sneak Jesus into our lives, into their lives, so that they can find their own testimony to share. We're going to read just two verses from Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. So if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. All right, we're good. So open up your devices, or you can see the slides right here behind me. Just two verses. God's word in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31 says, "He, being Paul, lived there, being Rome, 2 whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here today because you have called us into this place. God, whether it be because someone invited us here, whether it be because we have been coming here for years, or whether we just walked into this place by accident. Father, there is no accident. You have designed and you have purposed this time in this place for now. So God, as we sit here and as we worship you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, that your Spirit would convict us of the ways that we have grown stale, the ways that we have grown too comfortable with who we are and where we live, and that you would charge us up, Father, to go and proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that we would have a newfound desire to be followers of Christ, that not just walk this earth, but that proclaim on this earth who your Son was and what he does, what he did for them, and how he can change their lives. Father, I pray that all this would be for your glory and that you would be the one that we praise today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So something that we see throughout all of Acts, throughout the whole book, is this common thread in the sermons the disciples are preaching. They tell almost everyone that they encounter, "You crucified Christ," which is probably a very hard thing for them to say, but they have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and probably even harder for these people to actually hear. So they're telling these people that you were the ones that crucified Christ, but God has raised him from the dead. And then they tell them, "Repent and know that there is salvation only found in one name, Jesus Christ." And they also proclaim that the good news, that this message is for all people. They preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we can easily become people who only proclaim that Jesus died and he died for their sins and paid the debt that was theirs, but never move people to see Jesus as the risen king, the one in which we need to submit to his rule and his reign over our lives. You see, with the cross, we have forgiveness of sins. But with the resurrection, we have everlasting life. This is the good news of Jesus that we should be sharing with everyone. The whole gospel message. Titus 3, 4 through 7 says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You see, sometimes we get caught up in talking about our sins being forgiven and that everything is all better by just knowing that information. We don't move people. What do people gain by only knowing that their sins are forgiven? They could be caught up in this mindset that they can continue to live their old way of living and keep on sinning, knowing that all their sins are forgiven, no matter what they do, causing them to only see Jesus as this get-out-of-jail kind of solution. So there is no need to change who they are. But if we know that God's word is true, we believe that, then we see in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, that says that that's not how we should live. Romans 6, 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So by knowing that in the same way Christ was raised from the dead, we also have been moved from death to life. And we must then walk in that newness of life. Yes, there is much comfort in hearing and knowing that we are forgiven and free. But to know that we no longer have to fear death and that we get to spend eternity with our Savior because he is risen, well, that's the whole new level of the gospel. The good news is not just Christ died, but Christ rose, and that he gives you new life forever in heaven. So we should not be only proclaiming the crucifixion, but also telling of the resurrection. That's what completes the story. And this is the good news that is not just meant for some, right? The disciples were proclaiming this news to all people. They were broadcasting to everyone that they would meet. No one is excluded from this good news. So why are we hiding this light under a bushel, right? I believe for some of us, maybe that age-old children's song, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine." I think for some of us, that we've lost sight of what that truly means and how that actually can affect our lives. Are we really letting the light of Jesus in us shine, or are we hoarding it all to ourselves? Do we not desire to let our light shine? The disciples were persecuted. They were threatened. They were stoned and arrested, and yet they continued to teach people about what Christ had done for them. That's boldness. In Acts 14, we see Paul is stoned. He's dragged out of the city because they actually thought he was dead. That's how badly they had stoned him. But the disciples get him up. They bring him back into the city. And then the very next day, they travel to another city to preach the gospel. But not only that, after that, they go back to the very same city that he was just stoned in, all to proclaim the gospel. So that's not boldness. And if that's not encouraging for us as believers in this day and age, I'm not sure what else we can see that would cause us to proclaim the good news of Christ. So why would they do this? Why would they go get stoned, all of these things happen to them, and then continue to go and preach the gospel where they just were accused? Because they have just found out the best news imaginable. They couldn't see any reason why everyone wouldn't want to know what they know and have experienced. It's much like the way that we are when we just maybe have found this new hip restaurant that we just found in Troy or something. We look for every opportunity to go and tell everybody about this amazing meal that you had and what the atmosphere was like and how the music was played just so. We tell everybody about it. We want them to experience the same thing. Or maybe it's a new video game, like, I don't know, Fortnite, because that's driving me insane right now in my house. You want your friends to know that maybe you got a win in duos or, you know, your squads or something. So you're excited. Like, just last night, Sky came in the door and he was like, "I got third." I'm like, "Really, third? That's lame." I didn't say it. I did not say it. You're going for first, right? So now imagine you have just discovered this new information that could actually save someone's life, right? You see where I'm going with this? You have just found out the greatest news imaginable. You just found out how you take fear away from someone, the fear of death, and know that Christ is risen for you and share that with them. Is that not the most amazing news that is much better than something that you ate or something that you were entertained by? You see, these disciples had this new life-changing, life-saving information, and they wanted to share that with the world. And they did all of this with boldness and without hindrance, just like we read in the last verses of Acts 28. And there are over 11 times in the book of Acts where it says that the disciples spoke and preached with boldness. You see, they were not ashamed of the gospel, but they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to inform all who would listen to them. The gospel is the news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died for our sins and rose again, eternally triumphant over all of his enemies, so that there is now no condemnation for those who would believe, but only everlasting joy. That's the gospel. The supreme demonstration of God's love was the sending of his Son to die for our sins and to rise again so that sinners might have the right to approach God and might have the pleasure of his presence forever. So knowing what the message is, that's important. So what is it then that keeps us from sharing our faith, that message, with others? See, if this news is so good, why do we keep it to ourselves? I believe there are many reasons why that might be, but I think we can boil all of them down into maybe these three categories: fear, busyness of life, and not being prepared to do so. See, I know for myself that when I was a young believer in junior high school, I was at this public school, and I was afraid that the kids in my classes would reject me, or they would tease me about this faith that I had, because it was unlike what they had. You know, a lot of people, a lot of students in school, they would go to church, but they weren't necessarily believers or followers of Christ. They just did what their parents would tell them. And I believed that I would have some sort of persecution. And at times, I was actually embarrassed of my faith. There's one time that I don't even think I admitted to my mom or my dad, so this is going to be shocking. No. So we had this blue car. It was a blue Mercury Topaz. And we had this Jesus fish on the back, right? Just the Jesus fish that y'all see. And it was my first day driving to school all by myself, had my license. And I pulled around to the side of the house, and I scraped the Jesus fish off. I pulled it off. Because I was afraid that when I pulled into the parking lot, the kids would see me getting out of a car with a Jesus fish. And sure enough, they'd be teasing me. But these words from 2 Timothy are what I needed and then still need today. So I want to encourage you with these verses if you are someone that's caught in the fear of sharing your faith. 2 Timothy says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." You see, I used to think that what people thought of me mattered most. That's why I was stuck in this spirit of fear. But verses like these are what give us the assurance that God is on our side and we do have nothing to fear. So we can continue to stay stuck in that fear, or we can trust that he's got this. I also know that a lot of times we can use our schedules as an excuse not to share our testimony with people. We jam our days with everything and anything, and then we find that we have zero time to spend and be present with them. And sometimes these things aren't necessarily bad things. They could be really well-intentioned, good things that we fill our planners with. But we'll say to ourselves, I just don't have enough time in my day to stop and engage with those around me. But I think we can learn a little something from Mary in the Gospel of Luke. When Luke wrote, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her.'" So maybe we need to stop focusing on our to-do list, stop looking at our planners, and spend more time focused on our lost list, the people that we have in our lives that we know don't know Jesus. I heard someone say once, "Show me your checkbook and your calendar, and I'll show you what's most important in your life." I believe that if we all did that very thing, that we could come to this startling realization that being missional was definitely not our greatest desire. You see, hearts will change around us when we make the change in our own lives. We can't expect people to know who Jesus is if we're not even there to share it with them. So let's stop filling up our planners with these earthly encounters, and let's look to fill them with these missional meetings with those around us that we proclaim Jesus to. Yeah, so if we have the idea that we are fearful or could be fearful, and that we pack our days so that we have no time, I'm certain that we will not be able to share Christ with others if we have not prepared ourselves to do so. And what I mean by that is, if we are not spending time in God's word, if we are not steeped in what the scriptures say we are to reveal to the lost, then we will continue to keep it to ourselves. If we do not know our stories, if we don't know how Christ has infected us and how he has changed us, if we don't know this story backwards and forwards, well, we're going to shy away from telling it. Because 1 Peter tells us in chapter 3, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So if we're going to be able to make more and better disciples of Jesus, then we need to be people who are prepared to give an account for the hope that is in you. I guess that also means that we need to be reflecting hope as well. We can't be people that are walking around moping with no joy and no hope, because people aren't going to ask us what's going on. They'll actually probably steer clear of you. Know the word. Know your story, so that when the times come, yes, that's plural, there will be times that you will be able to tell it. You see, I believe what all of this boils down to, though, the fear, the busyness, and not being prepared, it has to come down to our own comfort. We can look at any excuse or reason that we give and we can bring it back to how it makes us uncomfortable or how it takes away our cushy life. So no matter what reason you give, it's all about what makes me happy and what makes me comfortable. That's what keeps me from sharing the gospel. I heard this song recently by this Christian rapper, Andy Mineo. Maybe some of you know him. And I think he nails it. I think he nails it when he talks about the view of how we view our lives and why we don't share the gospel. And I contemplated rapping it, but I'm not going to do that. I was thinking about having my son come up and rap it, but that's... So just listen to these lyrics as I read them to you. These are the lyrics. He said, it's hard for a rich man to get to heaven when we feel like we don't need God. Then we forget him. We tell him that if you don't make me money or make me happy, then I ain't making time for you, so make it snappy. And I think lately you mistake me for a cabbie because this drive that I got put everybody in the back seat. So if you want to live a comfortable life, make sure you never love nobody, be selfish, and never sacrifice. So what about you? Have you grown too comfortable with who you are? Have you spent too much time living in fear of what people will think of you if you share Jesus with them? Is your calendar too full for Christ? Or are you unprepared to share the good news? I ask you, what needs to change in your life to adjust that answer to any of these motives, to any of these reasons why we don't share Jesus? What needs to change to make that a reality in your life, that you share Jesus? So if we're aware of the message that we're to share, if we're aware of the good news, and we have now moved to a place that we have overcome the reasons that we are not motivated to share that message, well, now we shift to the ways that we carry that message to the unbeliever, to those around us. Here are three ways that I see us being proactive in doing this. Being hospitable, evangelizing to them, actually speaking to them, and having a faithful presence in their lives. We should look for opportunities to have our neighbors, our coworkers, family, friends, anyone we associate over to our house and live life with them. The presence that you have in their lives by having them into your homes for a meal is amazingly impactful in how you reflect Christ to them. Take them out to lunch. Buy them a coffee. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in those situations to reflect Christ to them. The Bible says that we should be, this is what we should be doing as followers of Christ. We should be loving strangers, treating fellow believers, widows, orphans, unbelievers, the poor and the needy, missionaries, foreigners, immigrants, and refugees, even your own enemies, as though they were your family. So that looks differently how we walk through life if we have that mindset, how we are hospitable to other people. Because hospitality is to walk alongside a people for an extended period of time so that the glory of Christ might be seen and embraced by them. It is a long-suffering openness to share our lives. And it's not going to be glamorous, and it's not going to be pretty. It's actually going to take work. It's going to be difficult, and you may actually even hate it. It might be the very last thing that you want to do at the end of a long week. But friends, we have to suck it up and know that this is what God has called us into. But it's because God has been unbelievably hospitable to us. We did not deserve anything that he has done for us, but yet he extended his love to us. So that is what we should do as followers of Christ. And when we are hospitable, we will actually need to talk to these people. We'll actually need to share with them our story so that they can fully understand what it is that will bring them into a relationship with Jesus. We cannot expect that only our actions will win them to Christ. I used to think that my actions will naturally make people ask me about Jesus, that I didn't actually need to say anything, that my attitude and my presence there would just naturally want them. But that's false. It won't naturally happen. It may supernaturally happen, but you will most likely have to talk to them about Jesus. And I think that this can happen in your day-to-day life. This doesn't have to be something magical. Like, I'm not expecting that you're going to sit down your coworker on Monday and tell him that if he or she doesn't give their life to Jesus right then and there, that they're going to go to hell. I don't want that to happen. That's what drives people away from the gospel. Being present with them allows you opportunities to talk with them. It doesn't have to be complicated. When someone talks with you about things going on in their lives or share some difficult things they are dealing with, ask how you can pray for them. I had multiple times where just by being present in a workplace that was hostile or stressful, by just having my door open and being a person that would talk truthfully and openly, they would come and share their lives with me. And it would give you a chance to actually ask them to pray, because chances are they're not going to say no. They're not going to get angry at you. Why would you ask me to pray for you? This gives you an opportunity to reflect Christ to them. And as you do pray for them, let them know that you have been praying. And then maybe even share a scripture with them that maybe lines up with something that they are actually dealing with. I think you would be surprised with how natural this would feel. And it can be that simple. And that is how we share the gospel. So we should be sharing the message, evangelizing to the lost, as we are being hospitable. But we should also have a faithful present in the places that we live life, where we are. There's a story of a new convert, someone who just came to Christianity, coming to Christ, approaches Martin Luther, the father of the Great Reformation, and he says this. He said, "I've just become a Christian. How am I to faithfully serve the Lord?" And Luther asks him, "Well, what do you do?" And the man replies, and he says, "I'm a cobbler, I make shoes." To which Luther replied, "Then make a great shoe and sell it at a fair price." Faithful presence is us as men and women fulfilling our God-given obligation to work hard, to seek, to serve all, and walk in a type of humility that is attractive to the world around us. Because your faithful presence is ruined the moment you become that person at work. The one that is the most difficult to be around, the one that is always late to meetings, not completing tasks. We not only reflect Christ in our gathering, in our speech, but also in our workplaces. You may need to stop complaining about your coworkers or your boss. You may need to start planning a little better in order to be where you need to be when you need to be there. You might even have to swallow your pride when you are made to look bad. Work diligently. We don't always need to win, especially if winning comes at the cost of losing your faithful presence. As a family, we have seen this played out differently in a different segment where we have been at the ball fields. Our kids were big into baseball, and during the season, we would spend a great deal of time with the same parents or the same baseball players, and we found that it was an opportunity for us to reflect Christ. Even recently, this year, it was astounding because I didn't coach, but I had offered to, assist the coach, and he actually asked me if I would be willing to be the dugout manager or whatever, to be in the dugout with him because he needed a calming presence in the dugout, which he clearly doesn't know me that well, but if you've seen this guy, I look like, I'm meek and mild compared to him. So anyway, I'm not saying that because I want a pat on the back, but it was an opportunity to share that having a faithful present just needs to doesn't need to happen in work, but you can actually do that in the places that you frequent, in the places that you live life with multiple people or with people multiple times, and you see them often. This gives you an opportunity to have a faithful present where you work and where you play. So let's wrap this up. Let's bring this thing home. If we are going to move the capital region, if we're going to move this region from being one of the most unchurched and dechurched areas in the U.S. to a revival, to a place where people are professing and finding Jesus, then we need to know that the message, that this message, the supreme demonstration of God's love was the sending of his son to die for our sins and to rise again so that sinners might have the right to approach God and have and might have the pleasure of his presence forever. We need to share that message. We need to be fearless, present, and prepared to share that good news, to share that message. Doing all of this by being men and women who are hospitable to all, who are speaking the truth, and who are being faithfully present in the place that they live, work, and play. We need not have the mindset that only people in a foreign country where there is hardship and there's a lack of believers to be considered as missionaries. We should not have that mindset because this is your mission field. Your daily life is a mission field. Your workplace is a mission field. Your school is a mission field. Your neighborhood is a mission field. So are you tracking with me? You are living in your mission field. If we know the message and we have cast off the reasons why we don't share the message, then it's open season for us to proclaim the good news to the lost. So the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, says this. This should be our charge. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So not only do we have Jesus, who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, telling us to proclaim and make good, to make more and better disciples, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, but he also said that he will be with us. He won't leave us. So we should share our faith with all that we know, all that we see. We're going to transition now to a time of communion. So if the band wants to make their way up here as we prepare for that. We don't take this moment lightly. Right, if we know that Christ has died for us, but also that he has risen, we should take the Lord's Supper seriously as we prepare ourselves for it. So as you come this morning, I would encourage you to take a moment before you come forward. Ask the Lord to reveal to you the sins that you have going on in your life. Confess them to him. And ask where he would change you and encourage you to change the places in your life that you don't necessarily agree full-heartedly about proclaiming the gospel. Where are the areas that you're struggling with that you need to change in order that you might be people who proclaim the good news? So we're going to have two songs to worship through this time of communion. And again, if you're a follower of Christ, you're welcome to partake and to celebrate with us. Let's pray. Father, we know that you have called us to greater things. That you have not called us to just people who stay where we were yesterday. But that you have called us and that you are moving us to proclaim your word. So God, I pray that you would use these words to encourage us and to strengthen us to not be ashamed of the gospel, but that we would be people who proclaim it frequently to all people, that there would not be a situation where we don't think that Christ can't be spoken here, where the people that we know and that we love don't need Jesus, but that we would be moved to a place where that is our greatest desire, that those we love and even those we hate would come to have a faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We ask and we pray all this in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.